the Nipah virus is back to haunt Kerala once again. Out of the 4 Nipah cases reported in the state, 2 have already succumbed. This is the 4th outbreak of the zoonotic illness in Kerala since 2018. Hi, you're listening to On Manorama's Explainer podcast, Newsbreak, a weekly show that breaks down news in a clutter-free manner. This is Harita Benjamin. And today we are here to speak about the new virus in town, Nipah. Now, the Nipah virus infection is a zoonotic illness that is transmitted to people from animals. It can also be transmitted through contaminated food or from one person to another. It causes a range of illnesses, from asymptomatic or subclinical infection to acute respiratory illness and fatal encephalitis among infected people. To answer our queries on the virus, we have with us 2 experts, Dr. A.S. Anoop Kumar, the Director of Critical Care Medicine in Aster MIMS Hospital at Kozhikode, and Dr. Rajendra Pilangatta, Dean of School of Medicine and Public Health in Central University. So, welcome to the show, both of you. Now, my first question is to Dr. Anoop. Dr. Anoop was the first one to identify the Nipah virus when it appeared in Kerala in 2018. He was also instrumental in identifying the symptoms and alerting the health authorities about a possible Nipah outbreak this time as well. So, Doctor, let's start with the basics. What are the primary symptoms seen in Nipah patients? And how are the symptoms different this time compared to, say, the 2018 outbreak?
Usually, Nipah virus presents with encephalitis symptoms. So, in that case, patient will be having a fever with altered sensorium. Some patients will develop seizures, loss of consciousness, etc. But this time, the symptoms were entirely different. So all the patients were developing with features of respiratory symptoms, progressing into bronchopneumonia, and then going into severe hypoxia and related complications. And few of them were developing neurological symptoms like altered sensorium, convulsions, etc. towards the last part of illness. So that is something different. As we all know, there are almost 650 cases reported world over before. In all those cohorts, it was mainly the nervous system symptoms or encephalitis-like symptoms. So this was the first time the patients developing, presenting with respiratory symptoms.
Now, as you said, the symptoms were very different from last time. And because it is the monsoon season, a lot of people might be approaching you with respiratory illnesses right now. So how did you and your team arrive at the conclusion that the patients at your hospital were indeed Nipah patients?
Yeah, that's a very valid question, because there's a monsoon season and there is an influenza outbreak already going on in the Calicut area. So majority of the patients are having fever, cough and breathing difficulty. So what was happening to these patients were, like, from one family, three children and one adult were admitted with the respiratory symptoms. All of them were having a fever, a cough, and then developing like severe breathing difficulty. One child was having severe breathing difficulty with features of bronchopneumonia. So the one when there was a cluster developing, definitely we'll see like what are the other factors associated with that. So in that case, on taking a detailed history, the family member and the father of these two children, he died with severe pneumonia almost 10 days back in another private hospital in Calicut. So we have contacted the treating team of that patient, and they were saying that the patient had severe pneumonia, then developed into multi-organ dysfunction, and he died. And they have screened for routine viruses like COVID, influenza, etc. And those viruses were negative, and they didn't investigate further. So this time now we have a previous case, and again after a fixed period of about 8 to 10 days, a group of patients or close contacts are developing symptoms. So in that patient, in that case, again, we have discussed in detail about the first patient. In that case, they have again revealed that the patient were having some slurring of speech, then double vision, and he was a bit confused as well. We were taking the other detailed history. These patients were from a nearby area where the Nipah epicenter was there in 2018. And during the surveillance studies at that time itself, the presence of Nipah virus were established in bats in that area. So taking all these points together, we had a strong suspicion about Nipah, and the screening tests of Nipah were done. And again, for the further confirmation, the samples were sent to the NIV Pune. At the same time, immediately as we have seen that there is a clustering, we have isolated all these patients and taken all adequate precautions. So during this time, I again received one patient from a nearby area, again a 40-year-old man. He had a fever cough of 3 days duration, later developing severe breathing difficulty. And the treating physician identified that he is again developing severe low oxygen level or hypoxemia, which is not usual in case of viral pneumonia. So that patient was also referred to me here in Calicut. And immediately after landing in the emergency department, he developed cardiac arrest, and we couldn't revive him. So in that case also, the symptom progression were something unusual, because he was rapidly deteriorating. And on detailed history, there was no contact with the previous family members. And again, he was almost 10 to 20 kilometers away from that family. So on repeated probing, they revealed that he was also his relative was taking treatment from a private hospital in Calicut. So at that time, I asked them to get the discharge summary. So I collected the discharge summary and contacted the hospital where he was taking the treatment. So that time, we could realize that this patient, when he was a bystander, the other patient who died, he was also taking the treatment in the emergency department during the same time, on 28th and 29th of last month. So okay. That again made a strong suspicion about his case. So we informed the health authorities immediately, collected the samples, and followed all Nipah precautions in handling the dead body, and we didn't hand over the body to the relatives.
Okay, so some of the symptoms, like the slurring of speech, which you mentioned, appears after the disease progresses further, right? So how is an early diagnosis possible in such cases?
Again, it's very difficult at this season to isolate all the patients with minor respiratory symptoms or flu-like illness. So what we can do is, we can make a contact list. And again, we can identify particular areas from where these patients are having contact with others. And from those areas, if patients are developing flu-like symptoms, we will have to isolate them. And again, if the symptoms are progressing to severe symptoms, definitely we will have to screen them for Nipah, and we will have to isolate them in the particular healthcare facility, and we will have to give the proper treatment. So that should be the plan.
Now over to Dr. Rajendra. He was an expert in the core committee of the Institute of Advanced Virology at Thiruvananthapuram. So we just heard about the symptoms, Dr. Rajendra. Could you briefly explain the nature of the Nipah virus to us and probably elaborate on the different strains of the virus?
Yeah, Nipah virus is actually a zoonotic virus. That means the origin is animal. We know specifically if I say it is, transmitted from the bat actually. So a specific bat called the Steropus species. And this bat is a natural reservoir for this virus. And from this bat it is transmitted to certain other intermediate hosts. So virus is originally present in this natural reservoir. So and this virus, once it enters into human body through intermediate route, like as I said, some other animals like pigs or, fruits or something, then what happens is this virus replicates in our body and it causes, clinical manifestations in terms of diseases. There are basically two clades, it is called, two types. One is MY and another one is BD. Because if you see the origin of this virus, it is in 1998, it was first discovered, in fact, from Malaysian outbreak, Malaysia and Singapore. In that case, it was originally discovered in pigs. Many pigs, people actually killed. It caused a lot of economic impact also at that time, and around 100 deaths also during that time in 1998 in Malaysia. And that is one group, and MY it is called, Malaysian clad, and another one is BD clad. BD clad is actually Bangladesh clad. So these are the two major clads. And recently in 2018, when there was an outbreak in the same Calicut, that was also sequenced by our NIV group, and then it was reported that is more closely related to Bangladesh, clad actually, BD clad. But as for the literature, it seems that it is interestingly BD also further becomes two sublineage, BD1 and BD2, that is Bangladesh clad. So there are reports that these two are co-circulated. These two different clads are getting co-circulated in, for example, Thailand. When they isolated from Thailand, what they found is both the clads, Nipah virus MY clad, that is originally from Malaysian Singapore clad, and the Bangladesh clad, both were found, in Thailand as a mixed population. So it is I feel it is the right time to, sequence in detail and understand whether we have a co-circulation of both clads, any divergence in the recent times. Because one thing I would like to add here is, based on its virology and its molecular nature, as we know, these viruses are RNA viruses, and also this is called negative strand RNA viruses. What happens is RNA virus has to go to multiple round of replication. Then what happens, it accumulates the mutation, and though there is a chance that the sudden changes, heritable changes can occur in this virus. So maybe it's possible that the same, co-circulation of different lineage in same place. We need to be careful, because we are seeing almost every year, one or two cases in a particular location. I think it's the high time to do a thorough sequencing of this virus, both from the isolated from a clinical sample from human being, as well as from the natural reservoir.
All right. So, Dr. Rajendra, as Dr. Anoop just mentioned, the symptoms of the virus are very different this time. And you also mentioned about co-circulation aspect while you were speaking right now. And is it possible that this time there is a mutation which has occurred, and, this co-circulation has led to a different, the evolution of a different strain altogether?
It is possible. Until unless we do the sequencing, we can't confirm. But it is possible. But as per the literature, I can say that the Nipah virus, already it is reported, it can cause both together, like respiratory illness and the encephalitis together, as well as separately also. It is reported. But interestingly, what I read is, from my literature backup, I can tell you that, the pigs, usually they show more respiratory illness. That's what I read, actually, from the literature. But in the human beings, in the earlier case, we know that it was an encephalitis case. And this time, I heard Dr. Anoop also was explaining that there is more respiratory illness is there this time. Definitely, we need to see the sequence and, do the follow-up. A close follow-up we have to do, probably.
Absolutely. So, if we are doing the sequencing, as you mentioned, how should our strategy differ in terms of curing our patients, or, say, preventing the spread of the disease?
Actually, strategy, first thing is the one of the biggest complication in this. I think here I would like to stress one important point is our clinicians, our clinical experts, we have to give a big salute to them, actually. Just by looking at the clinical manifestation, as you know, in the beginning, it looks like viral fever in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then slowly it actually drags, slides into the, other respiratory problem and disorientation in case encephalitis and all. our clinicians, they have done a wonderful job actually. They could actually immediately understand that there is a possibility of Nipah infection, and then they went for the diagnosis. So what I would say is, if we know that its co-circulation is there, and also we can understand the how fast it is actually spread, and the mode of transmission also. For example, I can tell you close contact only is actually spread from the infected person or from the infected material or the secretions of the bat, contaminated suit and all. But if you know more about the sequence and other details of the virus, we can understand the R value of this virus, other things, the spreading rate and all. Mm-hmm. And then if we have a particular location, if we can see the genotype and we can early predict that this could be the R value. As you know, R value is spreading, it tells us how fast it spreads.
Progression.
Progression, we can correlate. I'm telling, suppose I'm telling this episode now, we have a database based on genome sequence and the epidemiological data and the clinical manifestations. That is very important. As you know, there is no specific drug for this particular virus now, except a monoclonal antibody. That's what they're selling. But usually they do clinical management efficiently. The clinicians do the symptomatic approach for this. So by that time, they can sequence it and they can, plan the further strategy at the management level to curb the further spreading. I mean, if you know the proper virology and molecular aspect of the virus and how fast it can spread, and also what is the stability of the virus, that becomes an important. What I read is, Nipah virus can survive for up to 3 days in some fruit juices or mango fruit. Right. And also at least 7 days in some, palm sap and all the other things, and urine, it is around 18 hours like that, it stays. So, different variant can have sometimes different, stability also. That all things comes into factor.
Right. So now over to Dr. Anoop again. This disease has a high mortality rate of around 74.5%. Now, compared to COVID, this is like really high. Now, what is the treatment rendered to a Nipah patient and is it effective?
The one thing what we have to understand is there are almost 650 cases reported world over from different countries before. And in all those cohorts, the diagnosis has established after this outbreak has settled or all the patients have died. So there were no detailed trials or investigations about the treatment. So that's a significant limitation as far as the Nipah treatment is concerned. And there is no proven antiviral drug that can be used in treatment of Nipah. But there are few animal studies recently published, which is showing that the drug which we were using to treat COVID, like remdesivir, can be used in the treatment of Nipah as well. The same way, there is a monoclonal antibody which has completed the first phase trial that can also be used in the treatment of Nipah. But one important thing is this monoclonal antibody that can be used for treating the patients who had a high risk exposure before developing symptoms or in the early phase of illness, because the patients develop complications during the late phase of illness, and at that point of time it is basically because of a hyperimmune response which is producing all these issues. And at that point of time, I don't think the monoclonal antibodies are having any specific role in treatment.
All right. I would like to add one more question to that aspect. Are these drugs which you mentioned readily available, or do we have to procure it from outside?
Injectable remdesivir are readily available in Calicut and in India. The monoclonal antibody is right now not available in India. In 2018 outbreak, we have procured that drug from Queensland, Australia. But now that I think the drug it is not available right now, so the state government with the help of central government is trying to procure the drug. That's what I understand.
Right. Now over to our final question. How can the disease spread be prevented, and what are the precautions which the public and the authorities should take in light of the outbreak?
This is basically a droplet infection, and there is a strong human-to-human spread in this Bangladesh strain of virus. There are two strains of virus. One is a Malaysian strain, and another is a Bangladesh strain. In Malaysian strain, there were no human-to-human spread. There were basically animal-to-human or pig-to-human spread. But in Bangladesh strain, there were human-to-human spread, and in 2018 also, it was found that we had this Bangladesh strain. So it is likely that the patient will be having human-to-human spread, and that's mainly a droplet infection. So we will have to take all the precautions, like in earlier days of COVID, where we will have to practice social distancing. We will have to avoid crowding. Then we will have to use mask, the proper hand hygiene. All these precautions will have to be taken. And again, all the persons in this particular area with flu-like symptoms should be self-isolated. And all the close contacts should be quarantined as well.
So thank you so much, Dr. Anoop and Dr. Rajendra, for joining us today, despite your extremely busy schedules. So that was our Nipah explainer in a nutshell. As the Nipah virus gains momentum in Kerala's northern district, Kozhikode, the authorities and public are gearing up to deal with the crisis. This is On Manorama's Newsbreak, an explainer podcast produced by Harita Benjamin, that is me, with technical production by Idea Brew Studios. It comes out every week and is available on all podcast platforms. Do follow on manorama.com for more updates on Nipah and other news stories.